once more unto the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting episode of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And I always get kind
of
stuck. That's what we need. We need an applause track at that point.
Or actually have a studio audience. That would be great. We could fit them in...
The cockroaches.
I don't know where we would put them. I think we could put...
Where we would put the cockroaches?
Yes, the studio is not very large.
There's probably not enough room for the cockroaches in here. Anyway, Personal Wealth Coach, this is your official disclosure. The Personal Wealth Coach is both an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. We don't sell stuff. And that's part of the disclosure,
yeah,
right?
That says it fairly clearly.
And... we're fee only and like that. And we're also a radio presentation. And as part of the radio presentation, if you'd like to talk to us and ask us questions about stuff that has nothing to do with sports, you know, stuff like economic stuff. And
you can ask us
stuff
about sports. And when it comes to economics, we'll talk about
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. I can probably talk about the economics of football. But, all right, you know, I mean, which football team won the Final Four?
I think it was the Rangers.
I think something like that. Anyway, yeah. Telephone numbers to call in here, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400. And we have a call on 773-1400.
I did want to comment, though. If it's the Final Four, then that's it. It's final.
I've never actually – people talk about this, but I've been trying to find the game where there are four teams.
I think that's what they ought to do playing. Is put four – whatever kind of teams it is, lacrosse teams?
Or you could put a lacrosse, a hockey, a football, and a basketball team, and that would be the Final Four. See, whoever wins the championship of their sport gets to play against the other champions.
But what game would they play while they were playing it?
I think they could all play their own game.
Well, why don't you just go on for the whole totally new game that they have to play at that point? You know? We could do it like the Mayans did, where the losing teams lost their heads.
You just play soccer with the head. Yes. Right. That works perfectly.
Anyway, we have a caller on 773-1400. You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Where?
I believe sitting in that studio.
That's scary.
We appreciate the vote of confidence. Good morning to you, too.
I have been thinking about something over the past several weeks, and I have reached a conclusion, but I'm very interested in hearing yours. Let me give you just a little sort of snapshot of what my thinking has been. There has been, it appears to me, an enormous focus on what I think of as the balance sheet issues.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no question that the American corporation in general have tons of cash.
Right.
And they are disposing of it through dividends and where they're allowed stock buybacks.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of it, but not very much. They're basically still sitting on most of it.
And they're not using it. That's part of that hot money. My question is, why have we lost focus on the income statement items? I have great fortune of working for a man who was, I think, a genius. He said to me early in my career, if I can only have one number, I want sales, because everything flows from sales. The top line on the income statement is the most important number in his life.
Well,
the last things that I saw were, I think retail sales were pretty anemic. I noticed a little blurb about one of the big banks had magnificent earnings on declining revenues.
Right. Right. And we're going to talk about that today, as a matter of fact.
Wonderful. That's what I want to hear about.
Cool. A real quick hit on the reason why corporations have all that money sitting there. There's a great psychological reason, and this is me not knowing who you are. Do you have more or less debt than you had in 2007?
Oh, a lot less.
Okay.
So does everybody else.
So does everybody else. How about your cash position, more or less than in 2007?
Much more.
Okay. The reason is because...
Now we know the nature of the problem here, don't we? Yeah.
When banks were our source of easy money... We could get a equity stream from our mortgage. We could get more credit cards. We'd pay it back sometime. The corporations were doing the same thing. They were doing short-term debts to make payroll and spending that money that was coming into them to expand the business or to hire new employees or to buy new stuff.
All the right right things.
Right. And
stuff. Then we get stuff again.
Right, stuff. And when the banks stopped giving money out freely, I mean, I know that the interest rates are really low, but there was a major shock to the system in 2007 and 2008 when the corporations would go to banks they've been doing business with, they've got a chummy chum relationship with, they've been giving each other money back and forth for decades, and the banks say, nope, checkbook is closed.
Yep. And it's still closed in
many
cases.
It's still closed. So most corporations are sitting on that money because they don't have lines of credit like they used to. They're using their savings account the way they were using their lines of credit. So in one sense, it's hot, except that the corporations that have all that money are sitting on it because they're terrified that they won't be able to get money.
Actually, the proper term for that money that's sitting there is cold money.
Because it's not going to move.
Hot money is moving around very quickly. It has a high, basically hot money among economists means that it is what's called the velocity of the money determines its temperature in effect. And that money in many cases is frozen. It is so cold. And the reason it's frozen.
People don't want to lay people off.
It was really demonstrated recently when we had a client who wanted to buy a house and her balance sheet looks great, and her
credit history is great.
She's a perfect recipient. She doesn't need the money. I mean, she has adequate money to pay cash for a house. You describe a house, she could buy it.
Bankers are famed for loaning you an umbrella unless it's raining.
Yeah, and I mean, she doesn't need the money, which means the banker should have been falling all over themselves to loan her money. And despite that, she wanted to close quickly on this place. She set up a quick closing because the last time she got a mortgage, which was admittedly 10 years ago or better, she went to them and they were able to turn it around in just a few days. They take one look at her financial situation, turn it around in a few days, and she's got a mortgage. And they said, oh, no, we're talking about weeks. Because there's so many hoops that have to be jumped through and so many supervisory levels that have to be consulted and so much record and committee meetings and so on that have to go on before they can loan money.
And background checks to make sure that her grandmother's bunion was never bankrupt.
Right, something like that. So and really what happened is it was very irritating to her. And this is going on in companies all over the place. During this time went on, I have an excellent credit rating. We certainly had the money to do what we wanted to do in changing our business over to a pure investment advisory firm. I went to a bank that I've done business with for many, many years and said, you know, I've obviously got the money to do this with cash. But I would rather leave my cash reserve in place at the interest rates we have and borrow the money from you. And initially, the banker said, sure, no problem. Your credit reckoning is perfect. I can see your cash positions. Everything's fine. And he came back and said no. He said, the committee met, and they determined that this isn't going to meet the regulator's scrutiny.
Yeah, so basically all of that is to just give some background as to why that money's there, but your statement about sales being the bottom line is absolutely...
Well, no, it's the top line.
The top line, yes, even better, is absolutely correct.
I would disagree.
I think we're being vague enough that it's easy to agree or disagree with the whole concept and be talking about something completely different from each other.
Yeah, we were talking on the way here that when somebody disagrees with you, they either have different information than you do, are less intelligent than you are, or they're evil.
That's the way we determine things.
I guess I'm evil because the little scenario you just sketched out.
Unless
the lady's got a tax problem, she'd have been smarter paying cash for that.
Well, now, let's put it like this. If she's got cash that's making 6%,
if
right?
she does, please tell me where that is.
With us?
Okay.
Her long term, I mean, we're fairly conservative, but.
Not really cash.
It's you know, her investments through our firm, if you just average it out over a several year period, she's doing very, very well, and she knows that. And she's very happy with that. And liquidation of those investments will result in a taxable event. I sat down and worked with her on this. Liquidation of her investments in her most, you know, in her least gain position, which happens to be bonds, would generate a higher capital, would throw her, you know, if you're going to, you're talking about six figures for a house by definition, you yank that position at long-term capital, even at long capital gains rate, and you just stuck yourself into a heck of a income tax bracket, didn't you?
Yeah, especially with the new tax rates.
Well, I think that what you just said is absolutely accurate, with one caveat.
What's that?
She's not in cash.
That's correct.
Oh, no. Cash.
Yes.
I would suggest to you that there is an awful lot of cash thing, and nobody's doing anything with it. But what you just described has little to do with what I'm talking about.
Well,
the point I'd like to hear discussed. Well,
the reason that I said that is because if I'm, as a company, we have more cash right now than we used to have, and the reason is very simple. If I hit a need for cash,
yeah. No matter
how much money I already have on hand, I can't go borrow it from the bank and keep my cash reserve. So I have to have my cash reserve adequate to cover emergencies, plus accumulate cash for any planned
expansions
that I want to make.
And that's my whole point. The focus has been and continues to be on what I think of as balance sheet. I am concerned on the revenue side, on the top line. And I don't.
Well,
apparently you aren't.
Well, no, I am, but there's a caveat in there I wanted to throw in.
Yeah, what I was agreeing with you in that area, if you've got two options here, somebody's baking a pie, the pie is in there, and that's all the pie there is. But if you're in a bakery, you make more pies, and that I think that's what you're talking about.
Yep.
You know If as long as we're thinking about the pie is only this big and we've got to cut the slices thinner, there's no growth there. And that's what the banks are doing right now. Well, we're just going to have to figure out how we can eat more of the pie with less pie to eat.
Except that the pie continues to grow.
But
if you think of the pie as corporate cash or really just cash anywhere, and I have my own views on that.
Well, let me point something out. If you were the reason that Countrywide did so well, and its stock did so well, and its earnings did so well, is they had massive sales before they basically went out of business. Dell, on record sales, almost went bankrupt at one point.
Yeah.
All the above is true, and the only thing that I would say to that is, yeah, you have to use both tools available.
Absolutely. You've got to walk the balance beam.
Absolutely. Having said that, it appears to me, and you guys are much closer to it than I am. I'm just a poor old broken down guy of liquid cash.
Oh, yeah.
If I wanted to build a building, I wouldn't even think about going to a bank. I'd just buy the land and build a building.
Well, the
good
point
place
is,
to be.
And here's the reason people aren't going out and building buildings with their cash. Yeah, there's one company that is, and it's driving the shareholders nuts, and that's Apple. There's a lot of but of course their building is in the billions.
Yeah,
but of course they can afford to do it too.
Yes, they can.
But this is the issue. The reason they're not building buildings with it is they are holding a reserve against another financial collapse.
And that's smart. And I have no particular problem with that at all.
And then on top of that, if they want to do any expansion, first they have to hold in their minds, they're holding a much bigger reserve than they held in the past. Secondly, if they want to expand with the growing economy, they have to accumulate cash to do that because they're not at all convinced that they can, for example, get a mortgage to build that building. Even though interest rates are so phenomenally low, if you have access, and here's the issue, and when the articles in the Financial Times, Wall Street Journal, Barron's, are always saying the same thing this week. Small businesses are what's causing the current economic slowdown, and the reason small businesses are causing the slowdown is they are accumulating cash. They cannot get a loan at the bank.
And there's another piece in here. There's a new tax.
They don't have access to...
New old tax.
They don't have access to the capital markets. Major corporations a lot of them are issuing bonds for no particular reason except for the fact that interest rates are so phenomenally low they feel like they're crazy. Interest rates are lower than probable inflation.
Well, no question about it.
So why not go out and issue, if you've got access to the capital markets and you can issue bonds, man, this is the time to do
it. It's a no-brainer.
Now, the people who buy them probably need their heads examined.
Just think about, that's a really good point right there. If you go to the bank with the best credit you could possibly have, lots of cash on hand, and you want a 30-year loan with no collateral, which is what a lot of the bonds are, unless they've got collateralized bonds. But most of these bonds that are coming out these days aren't. You went to the bank and you said, I want a loan with no collateral for a large amount of money at close to 0% interest. They would laugh at you. But the general public is very happy to give it to a corporation, which means that they don't have a very good loan department in the general public.
Let me tell you something. I've listened to you guys for a very long time. I generally agree with you, but I don't think you and I are going to diverge on this. The two of you and I are going to have, I think, different views.
Right.
I don't have any great confidence in the American economy right now.
Hmm.
And it occurs to me that the reason for that is I'm watching declining sales. Now, it may be that I'm just an old fuddy-duddy.
Well, where are you seeing declining sales?
Well, retail sales report just came out.
Yeah, but it's very, very short-term, year over year.
Yeah, it's
year
very
over year, they're still not good.
Yeah, they're very 6%. Attributable. Very attributable. We can tell what that came from.
All right.
And it came directly from the payroll tax increase.
Well, there's another thing.
I don't have
any
issue with that either, but well,
there's another thing.
I'm not making myself as clear as I probably need to. Absent growth in the economy, all the cash in the world is not going to hurt, not going to help you a whole lot for the reasons you just discussed.
Yeah. If you're not growing, you're dead.
That's my whole point, and I'd really like to hear y'all's discussion of that, because I do value what you have to say, even when I disagree with you.
Yeah. Well, my agreement came in very clearly, and it's absolute in the aspect of if a company stops growing, and that's its plan for the future, is to make more money off of the revenue stream that already exists and it's not going to go anywhere, that company is going to die long term.
You got it.
There's no doubt about that.
You got it. Gentlemen, I've taken up way too much of your time. I really appreciate you, and I enjoy listening to you.
Thanks for the call.
And believe it or not, we're actually going to talk some more about what you just said.
Perfect.
Okay.
See ya.
All right, bye-bye. And you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure.
Telephone numbers in here locally if you would like to call us after the commercials.
773-1400.
Or toll-free 1-866-597-1400.
And we have these critically important words. Now for a word from our sponsors. Well, it's not our sponsors. It's
station.
KTEMs. But there's like a lot more than words, than one word.
Yeah, there's quite a few words.
Like maybe 4 minutes of words.
That's almost a picture's worth.
That's a lot of words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back on the other side of this picture's worth of words from KTEM sponsors with more of the Personal Wealth Coach.
If you've been looking for an upscale cigar shop in Temple, then you need to stop into the Texas Best Smoke Shop. Just east of 31st Street at the bottom of the hill at 407 Canyon Creek Drive next to Universal Services. Because the Texas Best Smoke Shop buys most of their cigars directly from the manufacturer, you'll find fine cigars at an affordable price. The exceptional and knowledgeable friendly staff will help you select the perfect cigar. From mild to robust to knock your socks off. You'll find what you need at the upscale Texas Best Smoke Shop with an extensive selection of cigars and a good selection of the popular ring gauge cigars. The Texas Smoke Shop has a selection for every budget. So come into the large walk-in humidor of the Texas Best Smoke Shop. They also carry a full line of accessories. They've got a custom mix for pipe smokers, as well as a nice selection of pipes. You can also find humidors, ashtrays, Zippo lighters, homemade pens, and special orders are always accepted. Just east of 31st Street at the bottom of the hill at 407 Canyon Creek Drive next to Universal Services in Temple. Texas Best Smoke Shop.
You see and hear ad after ad about owning gold, but they raise more questions than they answer. That's why American Bullion has created a comprehensive free gold guide packed with unbiased information about gold as an investment. Get the facts before you buy. Call American Bullion now for your free copy of the gold guide at 800-716-6878. That's 800-716-6878. Are you tired of stressing out about the economy and ready to take control of your retirement funds? American Bullion has a precise, tax-free, and hassle-free system to convert your existing IRA or former 401k into a gold IRA. That's why they're the leader in gold IRA rollovers. It's all spelled out in the free American Bullion Gold Guide that answers all of your questions in plain and simple English. Call for your free copy today at 800-716-6878. 800-716-6878. American Bullion. 800-716-6878.
And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And
got about 5 minutes, a little over 5 minutes left this hour.
You know, I think they're trying to mess my mind up here at what, KTM.
The gold commercial, is that what that
was? Well, no, this thing on the computer,
yeah,
that's flashing. Insert where?
Yes,
insert where?
There's a question insert flashing on the screen. Insert where with a question mark, and it's flashing on
and
the screen.
Every time I look over at the screen to play the commercials, it's flashing. Insert where? Insert where? The big question mark behind it. I think that's designed. Man, what's it called? Flash vertigo or something like that. Strobe vertigo.
Yeah.
Man, I'd be in deep trouble. Anyway, not to beat up on the people who ran a wonderful commercial in there, and I'm really proud of them for running that commercial.
Right.
But the next story that I was
talking about gold.
Gold is now officially in a bear market. I feel very vindicated.
Yeah.
But since it hit its high of about, it's down officially 20%. And here's the interesting point. As it goes down, the rate of decline is accelerating. The pattern looks astonishingly like the 1982-83 pattern, where gold only fell about 80%.
Yeah, let me make a big point here, and it's the one that most gold bugs completely ignore. It's a very simple point. Gold bugs buy gold because they think that the currency is going to be in trouble at some point. And that's
gold
true.
Gold bugs?
Gold bugs. People that like gold. They like gold. They think it's going to replace a currency, something
They're
like that.
They're called gold bugs.
Well, a lot of people call them gold bugs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So they think currency's in trouble, I'll buy gold. The part of the reason that gold is dropping now, it's dropping like it's heavy, and it is, is that Cyprus's banks are talking about selling their gold reserves, and the European Union is saying, no, you need to use that in case your central bank needs to balance and take care of other debts. So there's a recognition all of a sudden that the biggest holders of gold in the world are government central banks. This is not a surprise. Most people that if they just looked a little bit into this would see, oh, well, that's who owns most of the gold out there. Gold, according to the myth, is that when governments and banks are failing, you go to gold. The problem is that when governments and banks are failing, they sell their gold on the market, which causes a large amount of gold to enter the market. If there's a large amount of gold and demand has not spiked with it, gold prices fall. So when governments and currencies are in trouble in the current situations, gold prices go down.
That and
there's other factors too, but those are major ones.
Yeah, the gold is entered, you know, we've been talking about this. The pattern here, gold hit a record, sure enough, last year, which incidentally was almost, well, not quite, twice what it hit in 19, I think it was 81 or 82.
81 or 82, yeah.
Now, I want you to think a second. That's like last year was 2012, I think.
Yeah, last I checked, yeah.
So from 1982 to 2012.
It's 30 years.
30 years. Interestingly.
Hold on, let me do math. Yeah, carry the 9, move the 8 over the 2.
If you go back, you'll find out that gold has this habit of peaking about every 30 years.
Uh-huh.
And then falling between 60 and 80%.
Now, doubling over 30 years sounds kind of nice until you throw in inflation. And the inflation.
Well, now wait a minute. Doubling over 30 years. By the way, you can figure the rate of return on doubling in 30 years. You divide it into 72. Divide 30 into 72, and you can figure very quickly that you got just over. If you had held gold for the last 30 years, you would have gotten just over a 2% return.
Inflation over the last 30 years has gotten about a 3% return.
A
little bit more than that. 3.17, I think, the last time I looked at it.
It's actually a little more than that.
I'm looking back to the mid-70s, and it's actually higher when you throw that part in.
Oh, okay.
So if I was thinking mid-80s would be... Okay, so call it 4%. So gold has done 2%, inflation has done 4%, which means it didn't fight inflation, and it went down.
And,
even at record prices.
And this is, it gets better. But wait, there's more. Gensu knives. And we're almost out of time. Anyway, the bottom line to it is, if you bought gold at $800 an ounce and you sold it at $1,600 an ounce, you would have to pay taxes on the 50% gain, on the doubling of the money that you got.
And inflation took all the value.
And you could not pay it at capital gains rates, and we got
to
go.
If you'd like to contact us off the air, we have voicemail waiting locally at 947-1111 or toll-free 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can email us at jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com.
And we'll be back next hour with more of the Personal Wealth Coach.
Fair, balanced. Your Fox News radio station in Central Texas. News Radio 1400 KTEM AM. Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.